Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Juneau residents can now submit proposals for how the city should spend marine passenger fees next year. The city collects a $5 fee per cruise ship passenger. That money helps fund projects that serve both visitors and locals. Alexander Pierce is Juneau's tourism manager.
If there are things that can benefit everybody, residents and visitors, and we can use this visitor industry funding stream to do it, then that's a great thing for the community.
City departments, business owners, and the public can submit proposals by email or mail until January 3rd. Proposals should include a description of the project and a cost estimate. Pierce says the projects generally need to be in the downtown waterfront area.
We always like good ideas from residents, and if we can make it work somehow, we try to do it.
Last year's funds went to several projects, including construction at Marine Park downtown and Homestead Park on Douglas. This year, Pierce hopes to fund ongoing efforts to extend the Seawalk from the Franklin Street Dock to the AJ Dock.
The Seawalk's a great community asset, so I'm excited for the opportunity to fund that.
Once Pierce receives proposals, a list of recommended projects will be open for public comment. The Assembly will consider which projects to fund during the spring budget cycle. Alaska Airlines is buying Hawaiian Airlines. The companies announced the proposed merger yesterday at a press conference in Honolulu. As KUAC's Robin reports, Alaska is paying $1.9 billion for the deal.
The combined organization will be based in Seattle under the leadership of Alaska Airlines CEO Ben Minicucci.
As the two airlines rooted in the 49th and 50th state, both of which are uniquely reliant upon air travel, Alaska and Hawaiian share a great deal in common.
At the press conference, he called out the friendship between the late Senators Daniel Inouye and Ted Stevens and the political bonds shared by the Native Hawaiian and Alaska Native groups. He said the airlines share a common corporate culture.
We are aligned in the way we do business, the way in which we treat our employees, our engagement, and support to the communities we serve.
Hawaiian Airlines serves about half the inter-island traffic in the state. Peter Ingram, Hawaiian Airlines president and CEO, says Honolulu will soon be an Alaska Airlines hub.
This is the biggest announcement in Hawaiian's history, and that's saying a lot for a 94-year-old company.
The CEOs of each company say it will be 12 to 18 months before customers notice any changes, with schedules, frequent flyer programs, and airline names staying the same. Minicucci promises the Hawaiian name will stay even after the merger is complete.
The Hawaiian Airlines brand will remain, not only in name, but also in the distinctive branding that appears on the Hawaiian airplanes at airports and other locations, and in the experience enjoyed by Hawaiian Airlines passengers, partners, employees, and the communities it serves.
With the deal, Alaska is picking up $1 billion in equity and $900 million in debt with Hawaiian Airlines. Minicucci said conversations on a price began early this year. The price translates to $18 per share, which is more than four times what Hawaiian Airlines had been trading at $4 per share.
Today we have a deal because we agreed on a price that was fair, that valued the company at the right place. And airline shares have been very volatile. And so we took that aside to say, what is the company actually valued at? The price that we offered was fair.
Alaska is bigger, with about 23,000 employees compared to Hawaiian's 7,000. Ingram said job protection was part of the deal.
It was important to us at Hawaiian to ensure that Alaska will maintain and grow union jobs in Hawaii, retain flight crew bases and operations in Hawaii, with Honolulu becoming a strategic hub for the combined company.
Alaska has 300 planes now, many Boeing 737s, and will get 60 more aircraft, many of which are wide-body jets for international flights. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
A bill in Congress aims to undo Arctic conservation efforts of the Biden administration. Called Alaska's Right to Produce Act, the bill would nullify proposed protection on 13 million acres of the Western Arctic, and it would order the reinstatement of oil leases in the Arctic Refuge. Alaska's congressional delegation supports the bill, which was brought up Wednesday in a U.S. House hearing. Alaska Public Media's Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin says the hearing provided a familiar setup, but Congresswoman Mary Peltola flipped the script.
Room 1324 of the Longworth House office building across the street from the Capitol has been the venue for many prior congressional debates on whether to drill for oil on federal land in Alaska's Arctic.
The Subcommittee on Energy and Mineral Resources will come to order. Without objection.
In some ways, this hearing kept to the decades-old script. In the role of Democrat opposed to Arctic drilling, New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
In the Arctic Refuge in Northeast Alaska, fossil fuel development is a looming threat to the Gwich'in people. Their way of life depends on the survival of the caribou herd that reproduces in the region.
As in hearings of yore, Republicans argued that shutting down domestic oil production would benefit autocratic regimes. Among those making this case, Congressman Garrett Graves of Louisiana.
Do you know who's profiting? Iran, $60 billion in additional profits. Venezuela, $65 billion in additional profits. Not to mention, both countries have higher emissions than those from the exact same volumes or barrels of energy coming out of the United States specifically.
And not for the first time, witnesses came from the North Slope to make a very personal case about how oil development improved their lives. Doreen Levitt, representing the Inupiat community of the Arctic Slope, said without local taxes on oil industry infrastructure, essential services would wither.
We fund our own schools, search and rescue, ambulance, hospital, clinics in every single village. We won't be able to sustain that.
The late Alaska Congressman Don Young used to relish these hearings. He'd holler at Democrats and tell whoever was testifying on behalf of the national environmental groups that they didn't know a darn thing about Alaska. But Congresswoman Peltola is in Young's role now.
I'm so thankful that each of you flew the 4,000 miles to come here today. John, Doreen, Carlin.
She's carried many of Young's signature issues, including support for Arctic drilling. But her style is vastly different. Even though she's a sponsor of this pro-development bill, she made no speeches in favor of it. She was elected with substantial support from people on both sides of this issue, and she took an expressly even-handed approach to questioning witnesses.
I'd love to hear from each of you on how we can do a better job as Alaskans making sure that industry, Native people, and environmental folks can collaborate and work together and you know, that's the only way we're going to get anywhere.
Time ran out before each witness could answer. But the witness for the environmental groups did have a chance to weigh in, and he brought a new perspective to the hearing, too. Carlin Itchok is state director for the Wilderness Society, and as he testified, he's not new to the Arctic.
My grandfather and grandmother, Wilbur and Cora Itchok, are from the Colville River. My father, Tommy Itchok, was from Utqayaqovik. I was born and raised in Nome. I've been going back to the Arctic every year for many years.
Itchok says he's probably the only member of the conservation community who has harpooned a whale. He says the ecology of the region needs to be safeguarded for future generations.
There's never going to be another place like the Arctic. And the way that we're moving forward with the exacerbation of the climate crisis, we're not going to have the Arctic for much longer.
The bill has a good chance of passing the Republican-led House. Democratic leadership in the Senate is highly unlikely to bring it up. Reporting from the Capitol, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 38 degrees and raining. Tonight and tomorrow, more rain is on the forecast. Tomorrow, the high is 43 degrees. Later in the week, there might be snow on Friday. You're listening to KTOO.